Now the Muslim claims that there are some prophecies in the Bible about Muhammad. For example, this is one that they say that this is what Moses was talking about for Muhammad. Deuteronomy chapter 18 verse 15. The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among your own brothers. You must listen to him. First of all, we need to understand that this here Moses was talking to the 12 tribes of Israel. He was not talking to the Arab people. He was not talking to the Ishmaelites. He was talking to the 12 tribes of Israel. And then Jesus was born from the tribe of Judah. And here Peter, book of Acts chapter 3 verse 23, explained that this was fulfilled in Jesus Christ. And then Muslims said that even Jesus talked about Muhammad. Like John 14 verse 16, and I will ask the Father and he will give you the counselor, the Holy Spirit. Here, in some of the passages it's written that, Jesus was telling that, the comforter will come, the counselor will come, the advocate will come. And Muslims say that, Jesus was talking about Muhammad. But they need to read that whole chapter, and when they will read the whole chapter, you will find out that Jesus said, when this counselor, the comforter, will come, he will listen from me and he will bring glory to my name. Muhammad didn't bring glory to Jesus. He didn't listen from Jesus. So how come this, Jesus will be talking about Muhammad? He didn't talk about Muhammad. And then John chapter 14 verse 30, some ignorant Muslim, they claim this one for Muhammad. Here Jesus said, the ruler of this world is coming. He has no power over me. I want to tell for a Muslim, if they want to take this one for Muhammad, I have no problem for that. They can take it for Muhammad because I know that Jesus was talking about Satan. And it really fits for him. Then Jesus, he's the Son of God, manifested that he might destroy the works of the devil, according to 1 John 3, 7. Jesus said that you will know the truth and truth will set you free. John 8, 32, Muhammad. This is not my quote. I'm not going to be, this is you should get that book. But Prophet of the Doom, cover page of the book, by Craig Wynn, and you will find out that. Let's use this. Yahweh versus Allah. So now we're going to find out Jehovah God. Yahweh is the Hebrew name for Jehovah God, God of the Bible versus Allah. So many people say Yahweh and Allah, they are same. So let's see, what are the teaching of these two gods. God of the Bible says in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, Jesus Christ. Amen? And anyone who will believe in him will not perish but have eternal life. But Allah, the Quran says in Surah 9 verse 14, fight. The word fight in Arabic is called qatl. Qatl means murdering, killing. Kill them, non-Muslim, and Allah will punish them by your hands and disgrace them and give you victory over them. God of the Bible cannot lie. The hope of eternal life, which God, who does not lie, promised before the beginning of time. Titus 1:2. So God of the Bible does not lie. But God of the Quran says, Surah 16 verse 106, it is okay to lie if you Muslims are in danger. It says in the Quran, O Muslim, do not deny your faith in Allah in your heart, but if you are in a dangerous situation, you can say from your mouth, I am not Muslim. Muslims are allowed to make oaths and treaties, but they are allowed to break when they are out of that danger and a need. God of the Bible is eternal. He is unchangeable. Bible says every good gift and perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of light, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. James 1:17. God of the Bible does not change, but God of the Quran changes. It's written in the Quran, Surah 2, verse 106. Quote, if we supersede any verse or cause it to be forgotten, we bring a better one or similar. Do you not know that Allah has power over all things? So here, you can see what happens in the Quran. When Muhammad told the good things about Jews and Christians and the idol worshippers in order to gain their favor, when he couldn't have their favor, those verses were abrogated, cancelled. So he brought the new one. And they asked him, "Oh Muhammad, why are you changing those things?" He said, "I'm not changing. It's Allah who have decided to change those things." So this verse came up. If we supersede any verse, a cause will be forgotten. We bring a better one or similar. Do you not know that Allah has power over all things? Allah of the Quran changes. His word changes. But God of the Bible, He does not change. His word does not change. Glory to Jesus for that. Then the next thing. Who is this Allah? Number one, He promotes murdering and killing. He promotes lying. His word changes. And who is this Allah of the Quran? Surah 3 verse 54. And the disbeliever are schemed, and Allah schemed against them. Allah is the best of all schemers. Surah 8 verse 30, they plotted, Allah also plotted. Allah is the best of all plotters. Surah 13 verse 27, Allah is the one who sends the people astray to whom He wants and guide to whom He wants. Now let me quote from the Arabic Quran. Sometime Muslim will tell you, oh, you're reading from the English Quran, you should read from the Arabic one. For that reason, I want to use the Arabic Quran. In the Arabic Quran, it's written, Surah 3, verse 54, Wa Allah Kharul Makareen. And if you translate that verse, it will go like this. The word khar means the biggest and the top. And the word schemer and plotter in Arabic is makareen, meaning evil schemer and deceiver. And now you decide who is an evil plotter, evil schemer, and deceiver, according to the Bible. I want to ask you this question. Who is an evil schemer in the Bible? Who is an evil plotter in the Bible? Who sends the people astray in the Bible? Then who Allah is? It's very clear that this God of the Quran is not the same God of the Bible, because He promotes killing other people, He promotes lying, He promotes, you know, deceiving and cheating, and His word changes. So it is not Jehovah God. He is the devil, He is the Lucifer, the Satan. Quran and Bible equal in inspiration. You know, sometimes, you know, people say, oh, Quran is just like the Bible. That's not right. You know, the Bible says, the Quran says that Abraham lived in Mecca and gave Ishmael to be sacrificed. Bible says, you know, that this happened in Israel and Isaac was to be sacrificed. Is God confused? No, God of the Bible is not confused. But Allah of the Quran look like that He's confused. He doesn't know the history, what happened in the past. So, here, we have come to this conclusion. Now, the Quran, the book of Allah, we're going to learn. According to the Muslim, the Quran was written by Allah Himself. They said there's no human involvement in the Quran. What happened? They say that the Quran was given to Angel Gabriel, and Angel Gabriel brought the Quran to Muhammad. So there's no human involvement in the Quran. Quran has 114 chapters. 94 of the chapters were written when Muhammad had no power. 20 chapters were written when Muhammad had the power. What does it mean? When Muhammad was in a weakened stage, in minority, for the first 12 years, he said good things about Jews and Christians and idol worshippers. And those are the 94 chapters. And what happened when Muhammad became powerful, those chapters were abrogated. The teaching about the good teaching about Jews and Christians and idol worshippers were abrogated, cancelled. And he brought the new revelation when he became powerful. So this is what happened. When Muslims are in a weakened stage or in minority anywhere in the world, they will present themselves as a peace-loving, a kind people. But when they grow into power, they will be using the later revelations as Muhammad did. Then Quran has no chronological order. For example, Surah 5 verse 3 is the last verse of the Quran. It's written, O Muhammad, today we have completed your religion for you. It should be the last verse of 114th chapter, but it comes in Surah 5 verse 3. You know, this is the way Quran was revealed, as I mentioned, and you know how Muhammad was in the cave, and you know the angel came. So we will not go over that thing anymore, but let's talk about, according to the orthodox Islamic scholars, what happens here. The Quran was compiled in 646 to, you know, and 50 AD after the death of Muhammad. Muhammad died in 632 AD, and then one of his successor, Abu Bakr Siddiq, his father-in-law, who gave his daughter, the 9-year-old girl Aisha, to be Muhammad's wife, and then the second caliph, and the third caliph, who was the son-in-law of Muhammad, who married Muhammad's two daughters. He was the guy who brought this issue to the people. You know, we need to have the Quran in a book form, because the Quran was not in the book form because Muhammad didn't do anything that the Quran should be written, and his successor, the first caliph or the second caliph, they didn't do anything. So what happened? You know how the Quran was written? When Muhammad had those visions and dreams, and sometimes he fell on the ground and he rode like a camel, and sometimes he had the ringing bells in his ears and the very terrible revelations, and the foam is coming out of his mouth, and then he gets up and says, this is what Allah have told me. So what happened? His followers, whatever they have, you know, with them right there when he was reciting those, you know, they wrote on the palms, the palm leaves, the stones and the bones, and memorized those verses. And in the wars, what happened? Those people, those who memorized the Quran, they were dying. So you know, this guy, Muhammad's son-in-law, Uthman, he told them, you know, why don't you bring all the Qurans you have? And they brought all the Qurans, and he made a one Quran out of all those Qurans, and burned 100 copies of the Quran. So then different names of the Quran. Al-Furqan, Al-Dikir, the mother of the book, Surah 43 verse 3. They say, oh, there's an original copy sitting in heaven. So, you know, this is just a photocopy of the original one. Quran have 6,666 verses, and this, you know, 77943 words, and 338606 letters. Things in the Quran conflicts with the Bible. Pharaoh's wife adopted Moses, according to Surah 28 verse 9. But in the Bible, who adopted Moses? Pharaoh's daughter adopted Moses, not Pharaoh's wife adopted Moses. Mary is the part of Trinity. But according to the Bible, who is the part of Trinity? Mary is not the part of Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. According to the Quran, the Trinity is like God the Father, Mother the Mary, and Jesus the Son. They say that, you know, this is, you know, how they got that idea. Let me explain to you. If you have, you know, heard the people praying to Mary, and they call Mary the mother of God, first of all, God cannot have a mother. Then if God has a mother, he is not a God. He has a beginning. So that is a very silly thing to call Mary the mother of God. And that's the idea where Muslim picked out, that, you know, these people are calling the mother of God. So it shows that God had a sex with Mary and Jesus was born. So that's why they say God the Father, Mother the Mary, and Jesus the Son. That's not. So, and that thing is even blasphemy for us. You know, that's not right. According to Surah 5 verse 116, Surah 5 verse 73 to 75, Pharaoh ordered Haman to build the Tower of Babel. Surah 28 verse 30 and Surah 40 verse 25. You know, here Surah 28 verse 38 and Surah 40 verse 25 says that Pharaoh ordered Haman to build the Tower of Babel. You know, first of all, Pharaoh lived in the 1400 BC and Haman lived in the 500 BC. How come Pharaoh can talk to Haman? There is no way. And the Tower of Babel was built before Pharaoh. So Allah doesn't know the history. Samaritan built a calf. It didn't happen. It was Aaron who built the calf in the desert. Surah 20 verse 85 and 97. The sacrifice of Ishmael. Surah 37 and verse 111. So that, you know, that's not right according to the Bible. Saul led the Gideon's army. According to Surah 2 verse 249. Didn't happen in the Bible. Saul was not there when Gideon fought against the people, and the Gideon story come in the book of Judges, and the Saul story come in the book of Samuel. Jesus was not crucified. This is what Quran says, but Jesus was crucified and he was risen on the third day. Blood is unimportant to Allah. Surah 22 verse 34 and 37. Why Allah says that blood is unimportant to Allah? Because Bible says there's no remissions of our sins without the shed blood. And Allah is trying to cancel that statement. But in the other place, it's written in the Hadith that Allah loved the blood drops of the martyr. And that's why when somebody become a martyr, they don't wash him. That person should be buried in those bloody clothes. Why? Because when he will go and Allah, you know, the gates of paradise are only going to be opened when he will present that blood to Allah. So, you know, here it contradicts here. Then the next thing, stranger or teaching. Seven earths. Bible says, God created heavens and the earth. One earth, not seven earths. You know, Surah 65 verse 12. Then, jinn and shooting stars. Surah 37 verse 6 and 6 to 10. Surah 55 verse 33 to 35. Surah 67 verse 5. Surah 72 verse 6 to 9. What happened here? That there were some jinns. Jinns are the bad demons. According to Islamic faith, Muslims believe there are some good demons, some bad demons. So these bad demons, they were trying to go to paradise, to heaven. So Allah, what Allah did? Allah was throwing His missiles. And what are Allah's missiles? Allah's missiles are shooting stars. So Allah was, throwing those shooting stars on those jinns. So this is what happened. People became apes. Surah 2 verse 65 to 66. Surah 7 verse 163 to 167. Now this is very interesting that Allah says that people became apes, but Darwin says, apes became people. Now this is very interesting that, and I always say that now there's a big debate between Allah and Darwin in the pit of hell, who is right? Allah is right or Darwin is right? And according to the Bible, both are wrong. Amen. God created man and woman on His image and likeness. Glory to Jesus for that. The next thing we're going to see, contradictory statements in the Quran. Noah and all his family survived in the flood. Surah 21 verse 76. One of Noah's sons was drowned in the flood. Surah 11 verse 42 and 43. How come this God of the Quran can be a true, all-knowing, almighty God when He is making too many mistakes? In the first place, He says, Noah's whole family survived. In the second place, he says, you know, one of son was drowned. It cannot be a God of the Bible. Christians shall enter in paradise. What happened? When Muhammad was in a weakened stage, he was trying to gain the favor of Christians, and he said these things. Surah 5 verse 69. Christian will go to paradise. But as he was proceeding in his power, growing in his power, he said the eternal destination of the Christian is in doubt. According to Surah 2 verse 62. And they will go to hell. Surah 5 verse 72 and Surah 3 verse 85. When he really became powerful, he said they will go to hell. This is what happened. Bible says, do not judge. We're not judging Muslim here. Amen. But Bible also say you will know them by their fruits. Matthew 7 verse 50 to 20, watch out for the false prophets. By their fruits you will recognize them. Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears a bad fruit. We need to watch out for, you know, watch out for the false prophets. We need to see the fruits. We're not judging any Muslim here. But by, you know, this is what we have to do. God commands us to be fruit inspectors. Check out the fruits. What kind of fruits they are bearing? You know, 17 Christians massacred inside the church in Pakistan. They say, Allahu Akbar, God is great. Declare Pakistan, Afghanistan, graveyard of Christians. And that is just a start. What about the Quranic verses regarding peace and tolerance? Let me talk about the doctrine of abrogation. Latest revelation has the greatest authority, as I mentioned, that the Quran was revealed in the two period of time. When Muhammad was in a weakened stage, he said good things about Jews and Christians. But when he became powerful, those previous revelations he received were cancelled, were abrogated and cancelled. You know, so they have no more power. So the latest revelation has the greatest authority. For example, Surah 2 verse 109 says, many of the people of the scripture, Jews and Christians, wish that if they could turn you away as disbeliever, but forgive and overlook till Allah bring His command. Then this verse was abrogated by Surah 9 verse 29. Fight qatl. Qatl means murdering and killing. Fight against such of those who have been given the scripture, Jews and Christians, as believe not in Allah nor the last day, and who forbid not that which Allah has forbidden by His messenger, and who follow not the religion of truth, Islam, until they pay tribute readily, being brought low. So first he's talking about forgiving and mercy, and here he's talking against, you know, the war against the Jews and Christians. This is what happened. What about the Christian crusades? Jesus condemned the crusades. Blessed are the peacemakers. Matthew chapter 5 verse 9. Jesus said, if somebody will strike you on one cheek, turn the other one. Matthew 5 verse 39. Jesus commanded us to love our enemies and bless those who curse us. Matthew 5 verse 43 and 43 to 46. But Quran condoned violence and forced conversion. Jihad, Surah 2 verse 190. So you can see here. You know, whenever we talk about that, they say, oh, what about the crusades? But we also need to understand the history, and we need to know the history. It was the Muslims, those invaded in the Christian countries, and the crusades were the reaction against that invasion of Muslim people. Christians, they didn't go in Saudi Arabia and fight against the Muslims. Christian and the Muslim, they invaded in the Christian countries, and because of that, this is what happened. Does Quran bring freedom? Woman, Surah 2 verse 282. You know, she is a second class. Surah 4 verse 34. She should be beaten by the husband. Freedom of speech or press. There's no freedom of speech or press according to the teaching of Islam. Surah 5 verse 102. Here we are trying to bring democracy in Afghanistan and in Iraq. And if you have heard the news, you know, the guy became Christian and they want to hang him. Is it democracy? You cannot have a democracy. And we need to tell our leaders here in the United States, you know, listen, it is impossible to have a democracy as long as they have a Quran. In order to have a democracy in the Muslim country, they, you know, they shouldn't have a Quran with them, because if the Quran says that, you know, if anybody will speak against Islam or Quran or Muhammad, that person should be killed. If anybody changes religion, that person should be killed and start from the fingertip and cut that person into pieces. So how come they're going to give freedom to anybody if Quran says, and that you cannot have a democracy in a Muslim country? The only time you can have a democracy if they stop reading the Quran and start reading the Bible. Amen. Racial equality. Surah 3 verse 106 or 10. The black-faced people will go to hellfire. Freedom to change religion. No freedom to change religion. That person should be killed. Freedom to question Islam. You cannot question Islam. Freedom to sin. You know, there's no grace in Islam. If you steal, your hand's going to be cut off. You know, all sorts of things. But I will explain to you, sin is not absolute. If you rob a Christian, a Jewish, it's okay. You know, if you rape a woman, you should be hanged, the Muslim woman. But if you do the Christian one, it's okay. You know, that's fine with Allah. So, how much time we have left? 11:30. So we will start with this now. We'll start with the holy word, jihad, in this session. You know, jihad, I want to explain to you. What is jihad? I want to explain to you in a Christian sense, in a Christian understanding. Like, as we have the great commission of Lord Jesus Christ in Matthew 28 and 19:20, you know, where Jesus said, go into the whole world and preach the gospel to all the peoples and make, you know, baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. You know, the same way we can see jihad, the goal of Muslim people according to the Quran is to bring Islam to everyone and convert everybody, you know, by all means. And that's called jihad. Jihad is like a great commission. And what is, you know, let's see how they should do the jihad. Surah 2 verse 216. Warfare is ordained for ye, a Muslim, even if you don't like it. But you have to do it in order to please Allah. Allah knows you don't know anything. So in other words, Muslims are called to do jihad. It's obligatory duty on them. It's compulsory. It's not a choice. They have to do it. Religion of Islam should prevail over all other religion. Surah 48 verse 28 and 29. This is what Muhammad, you know, Allah said to Muhammad. O Muhammad, I have given you this religion, Islam. It should prevail over all other religion. How it can be prevailed? By destroying other religions. Fight until all people will become Muslim. Surah 8 verse 39. Keep on fighting till there's nobody who's going to oppose this teaching of Allah. What is the meaning of jihad? According to the dictionary of Islam, jihad, an effort, a striving, religious war with those who are unbeliever in the mission of Muhammad. It is an uncumbered religious duty established in the Quran and in the tradition as a divine institution and enjoined especially for the purpose of advancing Islam and of repelling evil from Muslim. When an infidel country is conquered by a Muslim ruler, its inhabitants are offered three alternatives. Number one, the reception of Islam, in which case the conquered become enfranchised citizens of a Muslim state. Number two, the payment of poll tax, the jizya, by which unbeliever in Islam obtain protection and become second-class citizen, provided they are not the adulterers of Arabia, death by sword to those who will not pay that poll tax or not become Muslim. Now what happened when Muslims, they invaded in those countries, they gave three choices to the people. Number one, you should become Muslim. If you don't want to become Muslim, you should pay the tax. And some of my friends from Romania, they told that, you know, how the Turks, they were fighting against them and, you know, and come and take away their things. And sometimes when they don't have anything, they took away their daughters and sons in the tax thing. And if you don't want to become Muslim, you know, you should be killed. And that reference is taken from the, you know, the Dictionary of Islam, printed in Urdu Bazaar, Lahore, Pakistan, on page 243 to 248. Greatest commandment in Islam. What is the greatest commandment in the Bible? The greatest commandment in the Bible is love your God with all of your heart, with all of your strength and soul. But what is the greatest commandment in Islam? Praises to Allah who has ordained al-jihad, the holy fighting for Allah's cause. Number one, with the heart, intentions of feeling, with the hands, with the tongue. So here, you know, Allah is saying to the Muslim, you should do jihad with all of your strength, with all of your heart, and with all of your feelings. And that reference is taken from the Noble Quran, Call to Jihad, on page 814, printed in Saudi Arabia. And then the next thing, Muslims divide the world into two parts. There are two houses within Islamic theology. Number one, called House of Islam. Those countries where Muslims are in majority and Islamic law has been established. So those countries come under House of Islam, Adarul Iman, Adarul Islam. For example, Saudi Arabia, Iran, Iraq, Libya, Pakistan, these countries, you know, they have more Muslim, they have Islamic laws. So this is called House of Islam. But the other part of the world where Muslims are in minority and Islamic law has not been established, so those countries come under House of War. So Darul Harb in Arabic. For example, United States, Great Britain, all Europe, Australia, New Zealand, all these countries come under, you know, House of War. So Muslims are in war with these countries and they want to bring Islam by all means. Then the next thing we're going to see. Sahih al-Bukhari, hadith number 2926. Let's go like this. Allah's Messenger said, the hour will not be established until you fight against the Jews, and the stone behind which a Jew will be hiding will say, O Muslim, there is a Jew hiding behind me, so kill him. End of quote. Now, Muslims believe that this is the prophetic word of Muhammad. So Muslims should accomplish this thing by killing the Jews. And they also believe that one day, before the day of judgment, Allah is going to give them a big hour of the slaughter of the Jews. And if the Jews will be hiding behind the stones, Allah is going to give the tongue to those stones, and those stones are going to cry out, Oh Muslim, come, there is a Jew hiding behind me. You can see the hate toward the Jewish people in the Quran and the Hadith. This is what Muhammad said, Sahih al-Bukhari, volume 1, verse number 24. Allah's Apostle said, I have been ordered by Allah to fight against the people until they testify that none has a right to be worshipped but Allah, and that Muhammad is his Allah's apostle, and offer the prayers perfectly and give the obligatory charity. So if they perform that, they save their lives and property from me. Now here Muhammad is saying that Allah have ordered me to fight against the people and force them to say the creed of Islam. Like that they should testify that there is no God but Allah is the only God and Muhammad is the apostle of Allah. Then they start praying, you know, praying five times a day, giving the charity, like the zakat, the alm, they should be giving those things. And if they won't do those things, what are you going to do? You're going to burn the homes, destroy their properties, you're going to kill them. So now you can see, this religion is not a religion of peace and love, as we have heard through the media. Noble Quran, Surah 2, verse 190, footnote, Al-Jihad, the holy fighting in Allah's cause with the full force of number and weaponry, is given the utmost importance in Islam and is one of its pillars on which it stands. Let me tell you, there are five pillars of Islam, but Jihad is the sixth pillar of Islam on which it stands. They will only introduce you the five pillars of Islam in the first place, but when you become a devout Muslim, they will introduce you the sixth one, which is the most important one. It says, by Jihad, Islam is established, Allah's word is made superior, and His religion, Islam, is propagated. By abandoning Jihad, may Allah protect us from that. Islam is destroyed and Muslims fall into an inferior position. Their honor is lost. Their land are stolen. Their rule and authority vanished. Jihad is an obligatory duty in Islam on every Muslim. And he tries to escape from this duty and does not in his innermost heart wish to fulfill this duty, dies with one of the qualities of hypocrites. So Jihad is an obligatory duty on every Muslim. Then the next thing, as I mentioned that, you know, Quran was written in two period of time. When Muhammad was in a weakened stage, he said good things about everyone. And when he became powerful, those verses were abrogated. Here, Surah 109, verse 1 to 6, he said, you do not follow my religion, I do not follow yours. Whatever religion you want to follow, it's up to you. Do not criticize the gods of other people, otherwise they're going to criticize your God, Allah. Surah 6, verse 108. There is no compulsion in religion. Surah 2, verse 256. Let me explain to you about this. Many times, Muslims will quote this verse in order to tell you that, you know, how Islam gave a freedom of religion. But this verse, Surah 2, verse 256, was given to Muhammad when Muhammad was in a weakened stage. He told to those people, you know, those who were not Muslim, he told them, you know, there's no compulsion of religion. Whatever religion you want to follow, it's up to you. But when he becomes powerful, he told them that you're not supposed to, you know, worship any other god beside Allah. So once you're a Muslim, you have no right to change from Islam to Christianity or any other religion. That freedom was only for the non-Muslim. Muslims have no freedom to change. For example, Surah 53, verse 19. You know, here, the life of Muhammad, there's a very good book, standing here, versus Ghulam. The life of Muhammad is called Sirat Rasulullah. That Sirat Rasulullah is the Arabic word, mean life of Muhammad. It talks about the, you know, the explained, you know, the Surah 53, verse 19. What happened when Muhammad was in a weakened stage? He said to those idol worshipper that you will go to paradise on the intercession of those goddesses. And what happened? Surah 22, verse 52. He said to them, you're not supposed to worship those idols anymore. He said, you know, why? Why are you changing? He said, no, let me tell you. You know, when I was receiving those revelations in the first place, those were not from Allah, those were from Satan. So those revelations need to be changed. So that's why it's called Stanic verses. How Muslims are doing Jihad in this country, or in Europe, or Australia, and all those countries, how are they doing Jihad? And we'll talk about the pattern of 9M. In silent Jihad, we can see a pattern of 9M. Number one, merchant. Muslims come as a business people here, establish businesses, restaurants, hotels, you know, NASDAQ, Dow Jones, you know, 50% of that, you know, is owned by the Middle Easterns. 60 to 70% of IHOP business is owned by Muslims. all these things. And like 70 to 80% of the hotel business in America is owned by foreigners. Marriage, more than 10,000 women are becoming Muslim every year in the United States. And one of their goals is to take over the United States through the marriage. I met a lady called, her name is Katrina. She married a Muslim guy from Syria. And I have a chance to meet with her in a conference in Bartlesville, Oklahoma. And when we were talking, she said, my husband and my brother-in-law, the Muslim brother, Muslim husband and my brother-in-law, they said, we cannot take over the United States by force, but we're going to take over the United States through the marriage. And then she told me some of the things which were really, really shocking. She said, after 9/11, when she saw the pictures of those hijackers, she said 15 of them used to come in my home in Florida. This is what she said. And she lives here, in fact, in Florida. This is what happened. Money. Saudi Arabia spends 6.5% out of the gross income to promote Islam, according to the World Net Daily. Then, according to Fox News on October 21st, 2001, they said that they're spending over $14 billion on the education system in the colleges, universities, schools here to promote Islam. This is what they're doing. And that is, same way that, like as we spend, invest money in the mission field, so they're spending that money. Mosque. 95% of the mosques in the United States are built by Saudi money. And many churches, this is very interesting, they have bought many churches in the United States and have converted those church buildings to be a mosque. And also, this is something I want to share with you. One of my friends from Oklahoma, he's a Christian pastor. He said to me, we Americans are very open-minded. And we like to be called open-minded. That's a compliment. Am I right? People like to be called open-minded. He said, we Americans are very open-minded. And I want to listen, what he's going to say next. He said, we Americans are very open-minded. The brains have fallen out. This is what happened. The Muslim go to the liberal churches and tell them, your day of worship is on Sunday and our day of worship is on Friday. Maybe use your church building on a Friday. Oh, sure, we are open-minded, very friendly. We don't want to offend anybody. Sure, you can use our church building. The Muslims say, oh, we will not only use, we will pay something toward that. Sure, that's great. And when you bring money, in America, that's everything. It's okay. So, they will come to you and they will do those kind of things. Then in England, the situation is amazing. More than 1,000 church buildings has been sold to be a mosque. Have you heard the name William Carey? William Carey was a great missionary to India. And the church who sent William Carey to India, that church building has become a mosque in England. This is what is happening. And the mosque is a place where they train those terrorists. It happened in the time of Muhammad. It is still happening the same way. And they can keep weapons in the mosque. This is what Muhammad did. In Afghanistan, they found the weapons in the mosque. In Iraq, and even according to the book by Steve Emerson, Jihad in America, they found weapons in the Brooklyn, New York, in the mosque. Madrasa, Islamic training school where they educate the little children. They teach them four subjects. Number one, Arabic, Quran, you know, Hadith and Islamic law. And what they're learning in all those, you know, those training schools, to kill the Jews and Christians, hate them, this is what they're learning. Media is promoting Islam. They have, when they have bought the media. Can you imagine after 9/11, I called the PBS and asked them, do you have that, you know, Steve Emerson's documentary movie, Jihad in America? They said, we don't sell it anymore. And later I came to know that what happened after 9/11, the Muslims bought the rights of that DVD and dumped it, you know, they dumped that film. You know, they told that, you know, if you will, they told the PBS that if you will show this DVD, this movie, we're not going to be supporting you. But thank God that, you know, the Steve Emerson still have the rights. And now it is under a different name, you know, Terrorist Among Us. You can, you know, get that from Amazon.com. So you can watch it. Very good documentary movie. Then the mysticism. What is the mysticism? Muslims are very, very deep in witchcraft. I remember that when I was studying Islam, we were told that if you have enemies, you need to chant certain surahs at a certain time, and you will conquer your enemies and bring sickness and disease on those people, and also change their minds and all those kind of things. You know, it happens. And the Sufism is a big part of mysticism. You know, they want to convert people through the evil and demonic forces. And they're using that. Migration since the time of Jimmy Carter, more than 100,000 Muslims are coming every year in the United States. That's the way they're doing. And misleading. So Muslims are allowed to lie in order to achieve their goals. And we will talk more about this after the lunch. Amen. Thank you.